Good morning, church.
Morning.
Good to see everybody here on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. Also, welcome to you online from wherever you're tuning in from. We're glad you decided to join us this morning. How we doing? Summer's over, back to the grind. Okay, I'll just stop right there. Yeah, you know, we got the big winter coming and the fall here in Southern California, so put away your shorts and wear your long pants and we'll get through it together. You've probably heard the comment, the devil is in the details. And usually that comment is used to highlight the fine print in a contract or stuff that's minimized. You're looking at the big picture, but then there's those added details, that little fine print that maybe there's some added little conditions or things that you're not quite aware of. But we'll put it in the fine print. I think you probably get this example the best when you watch TV and you watch them advertising pharmaceuticals. Right? And they're like, you know, take this drug if you're struggling with, you know, whatever, maybe depression or something, and it shows somebody just, you know, just pure carefree love, man and woman, just like that, you know, and then when they're peeling out, you know, 100 miles an hour rattling off, you know, may also cause vomiting, nausea, headache, suicidal thoughts, your head will explode and you'll lose your right leg. But get this, you know, ask your doctor for it. So that's the fine print. That's the stuff that they like to say super fast. But you got to know that, because if you don't know that, you may be stepping into something that isn't true for you. You think it's this, but then there's all these other details. So the reason I bring that up is because last week we started talking about a topic that's very important to the heart of God and should be the heartbeat of who we are as Christians, and that is love. Loving one another. Now, there's some fine print there when it comes to love. There's some details there that if we don't know them or aren't careful about them, we may think we're loving somebody, but we're really not. We may think we're loving like Jesus, which we looked at last week, but we're really not. And so we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. I've entitled this morning's message, The Fine Print, How to Love Like Jesus, Part 2. So we're keeping the discussion going from last week by looking at John chapter 13, verses 12 to 17. Just a few short verses. How many were here last week? Okay. So those of you that weren't, and those of you that were and already forgot, the context for our passage is the upper room, which means it's the final meal that Jesus is having, Passover meal actually, with the disciples before he is betrayed, arrested, crucified. And so this final time together, we know from the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's the time where Jesus introduces the elements of communion and replaces the elements of Passover, passing around the cup, passing around the bread. This is my body, this is my blood. Egypt's great, but there's a new covenant, and so we get that. We don't get that in John. What we'd get from John is some other things that took place that we don't get in the other Gospels, and namely this event that took place, and we saw it last week, where Jesus got up in the middle of the meal, took off his robe, so he's got a loincloth on, so picture that, and then he takes a towel and wraps it around him, and he starts to wash the disciples' feet. Now, we talked about that a little bit culturally, what that is, and it's something that was done on a very regular basis. It was a normal thing. You go to somebody's house, somebody usually washes your feet. Usually it's a servant, a slave, or there may just be the basin there and you take care of it yourself. But for the most part, it was delegated to the house servants, if you will. And it was protocol. You provided those servants as a way and a gesture of saying welcome and, you know, let us take your shoes or let us get your shoes shined and it's delegated over. Well, let us wash your feet. So Jesus did this, and obviously shocked everybody, including Peter, and he spoke up about it. But so we looked at a couple principles there. And Jesus did this, we were told last week, to show the extent of his love. So this is love demonstrated. So he gets up, puts on the cloth, puts on the towel, starts to wash their feet. And we looked at this principle that if we're going to love like Jesus, we can't be seeing ourselves above others. We can't operate in a ranking world and love like Jesus, because we'll immediately disqualify either ourselves or them, whoever them is that you're called to love. Oh, I'd never do that, they're this. Or I'm not going to do that, they're this. And there was no caste system in the mind of Jesus, the haves and the have-nots, the should and the shouldn'ts, the deserved or not deserved. Jesus humbled himself and washed their feet. So we talked about how this loving like Jesus is going to cause humility. It's going to cause us to, if we're going to do it right, then we're going to step into situations where maybe somebody doesn't deserve it, but it doesn't matter, no conditions. So we explored that. Now, if you remember, Peter responded to Jesus and said, oh, you're not going to wash my feet. And what did Jesus say? Yeah, I am. And Peter said, oh, okay, then give me a bath. And he's like, and then Jesus gave this teaching. He says, no, you've had a bath. And so is everybody else in this room, except Judas, obviously, that's yet to be determined. But he says, you've had a bath. I'm talking about washing feet. So the spiritual connection is you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You're a child of mine. I'm not talking about being saved, forgiven. You've had that spiritual bath. I'm talking about daily living of washing feet. So this idea of love, washing feet, humility is the priority for the Lord and should be the priority for us. If there's anything in our spiritual life that we should be focused on, intentional about, working on a regular daily basis, is loving others. I mean, Matthew 25, it's a shocking one, sheep and goats. Which one gave somebody to something to drink when they needed something to drink? Which is somebody that gave somebody clothes when they were without clothes? When somebody was struggling in prison, who went to visit them? It wasn't like whoever knows their Bible, has the most memory verses, can serve in the church, whoever has the best church attendance. The judgment's going to be based on love. So, don't view yourself as above others. Make this your ultimate priority. Those were the two principles. So now we're going to get into a little bit of the fine print, okay? Some of the details that I hope will encourage, clarify whatever the Lord wants this morning. Verse 12, when he, we're talking about Jesus, had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, so the robe came back on, and returned to his place. So he's now back at the table where they're eating. He says, do you understand what I've done for you? That's what he asked him. By the way, I'm reading from the NIV here this morning. But anyway, do you understand what I've done for you? Now, we don't have a record, so we can assume not. We only have an interaction between Peter and Jesus. Doesn't appear that anybody else said anything, but you can imagine why. It's like, what's going on? Right? Maybe a mumbling. What's he doing? And he washed all their feet, we're told. So that wasn't like, you know, 2 minutes. This is like a 10-minute probably thing. 12 people. 10 minutes of silence. Maybe the splash of water. And then Jesus, when he's done, he's gone, well, clearly there's no questions. So let me probe a little bit. Do you understand what I've done here? What's the spiritual significance? And he goes on, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for this is what I am. Jesus reminds them of his role in their life. Lord, which means he's exalted, and teacher, he's a guider. He says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, my role here with you guys follow me, and I lead us, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. you should also do this. Not now, your feet are clean. This is ongoing. This is a perspective. He says, I have set an example that you should do as I had done for you. I love how Jesus is gently instructing them. He's not scolding them. He's not saying, okay, did you see what I did? Why didn't one of you do it? And he didn't say, you know, I've washed all your feet. Anybody gonna do mine? He just gently instructed them on this deep principle. You could probably drop a pin. And he says, do as I have done for you. That's super important. There's fine print right there. Not listen to me, watch me. Not, hey, do you understand this philosophical idea? No, I've demonstrated this philosophical idea. Not do as I say, do as I do. And this is part of the fine print when we're talking about how to love like Jesus. Number one, it's action-oriented. Loving like Jesus will always be action-oriented. It'll always be something you're doing. It's activity. It's movement. It's not just ideas. It's not just philosophies. It's not just understanding. It may start there, but it doesn't end there. If it doesn't lead to activity and doing, the fine print is, it ain't loving like Jesus. We talked a little bit about this last Wednesday, if you were here for the Grow Group kickoff meeting. We talked about how it's so important in the Christian life that we understand. Right now, we're understanding. None of us are doing anything. You might be writing, that's about it. All you're doing is listening. This is important. But now we go out and do what we learned. If we just go out and learn and don't do, there's no life there. There's no spiritual life there. And then if we just go out and learn more, and keep learning more, and keep learning more, and none of that affects our application, our doing, which is the purpose of Grow Groups, not to learn more, but to take this and go, now I'm gonna start doing something about it in the power of the Holy Spirit, transformative living, and love is no different. Listen how James puts it. James 2:14, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? He's not doing anything. Can such faith save him? Suppose, and look at the example of love. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Love, if not accompanied by action, is dead. That's the fine print. Because we can deceive ourselves into understanding as being the doing. Because we're kind of doing it in our mind. Think about weddings. We even highlight this truth at weddings. We take vows. Do you, fill in the blank, Ed, take Mary to be your lawfully wedded wife? Do you promise to cherish her? Do you promise to provide for her? Do you promise to, and the promises, promises, and at the end, what does Ed say? I do. He doesn't go, I understand. He understands, but it's something he's got to do. And if Ed doesn't do it, or Mary, for Ed, then we could say it all day long, but it's not love. So this is the details, this is the fine print, this is, and it's subtle. It's subtle. Let me give you an example. So, if somebody has surgery, you might hear about it. Call them, see how they're doing. Okay, cool. And at the end of the call, you say, hey, if you need anything, let me know. If you need a meal, let me know. If you need a ride somewhere, let me know. Okay, cool. Oh, that's nice of you. Yeah, okay. You get off feeling like I showed Jesus love. No, you didn't. You transferred it back to the person to make them now request of you to love them. Jesus didn't check with the disciples and say, if you need your feet washed, let me know. I'm washing feet over here. Call me. I'll be done here in a second. Love would be, I'm bringing you a meal tomorrow. What time do you eat dinner? Stepping in and actively doing it. Hey, I'm dropping by your house tomorrow noon. You've got this event? Okay, I'm going to pick you up. Hey, you know what? We're going to the grocery store, and I'm going to buy you groceries. Anything in particular? If not, I'll just make my own judgments. That's love, Jesus style. See how subtle that is? I remember when Susan first got hurt with her hamstring. There was a neighbor. Yeah, it was interesting. I watched this dynamic because now I'm on the receiving end. I've always been the one on the offering end and having to kind of go through that. And I'm on the receiving end. And literally probably every neighbor, God bless them. I'm not saying they did anything wrong. It's just this is how we think. Said, hey, if you need something, let me know. One neighbor said, I'm bringing over dinner, and I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm dropping it on your porch. You know how many people we interacted with after that? None. Just the neighbor. We ate the meal. We're not calling people. I need a ride. You're not going to do that. See, that's transferring. So I give that as an example of how we can, and trust me, you don't know how many times I've been the guy that said, if you need anything, let me know. That's the fine print. You think on behalf, how would I want to, and then you step into it, right? Because you love others as you love your, and we're pretty good at that. Jesus had that as a given. So, how can you love, your love for others, be active this week? What can you do? Now, when we think of others, okay, there's kind of gradations, right? We got our family. And that's pretty basic, and that's pretty easy, and that's usually the one we're the best at. How are you loving your family this week? Well, I'm going to work, and I'm making a paycheck, and I'm bringing home and so we can provide their physical needs. Or, you know, I'm dropping them off at their games, you know, I'm helping them there. Or, you know, I'm sitting down with their homework and spending time, and then, okay, that's pretty basic. Then we go to the next level, our friends. How are we, what are we doing about loving our friends? Well, it depends on the friend. You know, if it's a good friend, then usually we see stuff that's there. You know, buy them a gift, their birthday, we drop by their house, see how they're doing, about to make a phone call, write a note, email, whatever. If they're acquaintances, yeah. And then you start going down the rung. Co-workers. Yeah. Neighbors. Pickleball friends. I don't know, I'm making them up. I'm trying to think of the people. But you'll notice the ones closest to us, we do the most for, because why? We get the most back. We don't get much back from a neighbor, a coworker, a distant acquaintance. The question, how much did Jesus get back by washing the feet? We don't even have a record that his feet were washed. So be careful when we talk about doing, because point one last week can slip in. We start to see ourselves above others or disqualify them because we're not that close or whatever. This is no respecter of persons. That's why this is a lifelong endeavor. Because it's not easy. And there's more to it. Let's keep reading. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. So he's dealing with this gradation again. Don't disqualify yourself because you're not a slave. This is something we all step into. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Notice the condition. If you do them. This means loving like Jesus is an option. It's something we decide. There are more foot washings to be done in the future. The question is, what will you do with them in those opportunities? And I love it. If we make the right decision, bonus, we get blessed. But there's a truth there. There's a fine print there in how to love like Jesus, number two. It's an ongoing choice. To love like Jesus is going to require an ongoing choice to do something or not. And what's interesting is that when we monitor the why, the or not piece, then we start to see if stuff's getting in the way, if we're elevating, disqualifying, making excuses, all those kinds of things. But it is a choice of a yes or no to an opportunity. Now, I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians, which describes love. Most of us are probably familiar with this, where the Apostle Paul says, love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Why? Because it's patient and kind. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, I want you to see that in every expression of love, there's a choice required. There's two options. Love is patient as opposed to being impatient. Love is kind as opposed to being unkind. Love, it does not boast, it is not proud, as opposed to being boastful and being arrogant and being proud. It's not rude as opposed to being rude. Do you see it? You got decisions. It always protects, always trusts, always perseveres, as opposed to what? Giving up, bailing out. It's a choice. It's a choice. Every time you have an opportunity to love like Jesus, you got to make a choice. And those are dynamics like kind, not rude, proud, all that. But the bigger choice is really making a decision to love yourself versus loving somebody else. Because if I'm unkind, it means I'm probably protecting myself. I'm defending myself. I'm there for me, and I don't really care about you. If I'm rude, same thing, self-preservation. So that's the bigger picture. It just expresses itself. It's like, kind of like that's what's going on underneath the engine of the hood, but the smoke out the back is kind, rude, and all that. But what's driving it? Self-love. So I told you last week that, my youngest, Brennan, and my daughter-in-law, his wife, Kenzie, they had their first child last week, 2 weeks ago, something like that. Beautiful little girl. Her name is Autumn Novell Ambrose. Super excited. We want to go over there every day. But it's their first child. So you know that. Their world's rocked. sleep, what? All that. But people are coming over all the time, popping in, friends, family, all that. So we have to go, maybe we should give them some space. Maybe we should give them some space just to be alone, kind of work it out a little bit. That would be loving them. Loving us, we're knocking at the door every day. Hi, we're back. And then we'll try to wrap it. Oh, but here to give you a break, here to do anything you want, but really we're here for us because we want to see our granddaughter. It's a choice. And so you pull back for a couple of days. Maybe a little text. How's it going? Praying for you. And then we start thinking about, how did we want it? It was the opposite. Well, me and Susan, when we first got married and got pregnant, we had no help. There were no in-laws. Where are you? Right? So it's different. And so we can even bring that perspective. Like, we didn't have anybody. Sure, they want us every morning. Maybe not. So it's a choice, though. It's a choice to think it through. Last week, me and my wife got in a pretty decent fight. I know, it's surprising. She was just wrong, you know what I'm saying? So, whatever, I didn't even need to get into the topic, although you would love to know, but you're not gonna find it. But you know how any argument goes, we disagree. Her opinion was not my opinion, and I thought hers was wrong, and she thought mine was wrong. And so yanking, 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 you know, you try the old convince, and if that doesn't work, then you just shut down. And so we're in the shutdown mode. You ever been in a shutdown mode? Show of hands. No, I'm just kidding. And you know, the real question is, how long, right? You shut down for hours, you shut down for days, shut down for months, or you just shut down. But that's not the issue. The issue for me is, again, I'm studying this stuff. And so it's like, and what I found is when we were shut down, I start to mull. And I build a case of how wrong she is. Right? It's like, that's so inaccurate. That's not right. And where's she pulling that from, man? She's got no proof. And In fact, I've done the opposite. And before you know it, I've got the argument, counter-argument, ready to walk into a court of law and work this thing out. I've built a case. And I'm like, okay. That's loving myself. How did I love her? Well, she feels the way she feels, although I don't agree with it. She feels that way. And for her, it's true, just like it is for me on the opposite side. What can I do to better understand her perspective? Not even necessarily agree with it, but to understand where it's coming from, understand how it was triggered, understand something to where I'm caring and loving her. It's a choice between myself and her. And this is where the choice will always be, to love others or love yourself. That's why Jesus said, love others like yourself. It's given. We do a good job of defending ourselves, forgiving ourselves. But I was clearly not stepping into 1 Corinthians 13 because I was keeping a record of wrongs. In fact, I used that as my defense in my mind. We haven't talked in 3 weeks, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. So it's a dynamic. These may seem very simple principles on the surface. It's action-oriented and it's an ongoing choice. But the process is a process. So, I'm going to ask it really practical. How will you choose to love today? What choices are before you? What would it look like to say yes to love? How can you be patient? With whom can you be kind? And not build a case, keep a record of wrongs? How can you be more trusting, hopeful, think the best of somebody, hang in there, persevere, and not bail out? Loving like Jesus is comprised of these small daily choices. It's not a big thing. It's small, step by step. And here's the best part. And this is the fine print, right? It's going to be action-oriented. It's going to require a choice. Action-oriented, require a choice. The two will work together. The best part is we're promised a blessing. Now, that's sometimes counterintuitive, because we think if we love somebody else and don't love ourselves, then we miss out. And we kind of operate that way, right? If I'm bummed out today, I try to do something for myself to not be bummed out. Let's go to the beach. Let's go eat. Let's go whatever. Hang out, call friends over because I'm bummed out and I want to feel better. I don't think, let's go love other people. And yet that's where the blessing is. So by definition, if we're stepping into this, we are the most blessed people on the planet because of God's supernatural blessing, because it's a promise. By definition, if we're not loving other people, we will be the most bummed out people on the planet as well, because we'll be missing God's blessing. Fine print, but important. So, what will that be for you today? Got a couple targets there. Maybe you're of love, to love somebody. Maybe you're sitting right next to them. Ooh, sorry. Lord, as we bring this topic up and watched you demonstrate it by washing feet, we confess to you we're a long way from that. Good at washing our own feet. And that choice, Lord, as I know, is before us every day, literally every minute of every day. And if we choose to see it and step into it, to know there's a blessing on the other side is wonderful. Because, Lord, we confess we often approach this topic with a have-to attitude and, okay, and I guess that's what we're called to do, sacrificial love, and make it this big thing that hurts to step into, rather than a blessing to be received. So, Lord, I do pray for growth for all of us, individually and collectively at a church, that we could love like you do and not replace it with our version and just watch you work. Lord, all of us want to be loved. Question is, do we want to love? And find in that balance. So bring to mind, Lord, right now, ways we can step into that today, tomorrow, this week, and the daily washings that will be brought before us that we're not even aware of. May we be brought back to this point and step forward to love like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. I'm going to just kind of lead you in a chorus, but I encourage you to take this chorus and make it your prayer this morning. It's just simple, it's devotional, but it's the beginning to say, okay, I want to step into this, and so let's use this time to do that.